Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin Bez Hashem BPJ share number 134. And we started to talk about the differences in the, between people and the importance of having respect and tolerance for those differences and how to handle conflicts. And the truth is when we are upset and there's a conflict, that's where gathering of information is most needed to diffuse that. So an emotionally intelligent person can pause, even in the heat of a battle, to probe and ask further information and genuinely listen to responses. You can persist even if you're frustrated. You'll be able to control your impulses, both in your actions and your emotions, and maintain an optimistic attitude and empathy towards your spouse, even when you are upset. One person said, anyone can become angry, that's easy. But to be angry at the right person to the right degree and at the right time for the right purpose and in the right way, that's not easy. And according to the Rambam and others, kasaponim, the anger has to be only external, not in your heart. Many emotional reactions are triggered by your adult relationships, but it really was learned in your childhood. Many of us unknowingly take on and overreact to the emotions of others and tend to recreate those moods in ourselves. Daniel Goleman, who wrote the book on emotional intelligence, calls this emotional contagion or mood synchronicity. And you could use this for a positive effect. For example, if you could help your spouse soothe his or her feelings, that's a valuable skill and could cause you to come closer. That kind of connection leads to what she's going to bring, this author, nine key emotional intelligence qualities, EQs. If you're good in being tuning in with each other's moods, then your emotional interactions will go more smoothly. Having the ability, Goldman says, to calm and to manage distressing emotions in your spouse allows one to shape and encounter and to thrive in intimate relationships and put them at ease. In other words, this ability to soothe each other. And you learn how to react to strong emotions in your spouse. Follow their ups and downs, not getting caught in a hurricane, but knowing how to handle it and manage it benachas. Especially how to deal with anger, emotionally regulated. Okay, but you have to be careful not to be codependent. A codependent person is one who allows their behaviors and emotions, the others, to have a powerful effect on you, and you get caught up in it, and then you think you could change or control the other person, and you get lost in that feeling. That's not healthy either. There's always a certain codependency dance in most relationships, and you have to really look at whether it applies to you or not. But the idea is as follows. To learn how to accept responsibility and to choose your own emotional responses. To refrain from situations from becoming stressful or anger-producing. And instead to make it growth-enhancing and to be aware of and manage your own emotional triggers. Some things trigger you. And you have to learn how to work that through. So here's an example that illustrates the destructive presence of unmanaged anger as an example. So I'm just going to quote this. Matthew and D is, I guess, a female name. Matthew and D had developed a pattern of interaction which nearly every conversation was laced with anger, defensiveness, caustic comments, cynical or sarcastic humor. Ironically, they had a strong foundation and were committed to the relationship, but were very tired of the constant presence of anger. D had a strong personality and was very outspoken. She was unaware of how much what she said was delivered with an edge, and she often was complaining and accusatory. Matthew is more easygoing and reacted to much of what D said with defensiveness or humor. He was also passive-aggressive and self-absorbed and had developed a pattern over the years of not listening to her. He literally did not hear what she said. After some painful and difficult sessions requiring that they observe their own behavior, which, by the way, is self-awareness, practicing modifying their own styles of relating, which is managing and regulating emotion, and learning to approach each other with greater understanding and acceptance, that is empathy and attunement, then things began to shift. Both needed further training on how to respond to and help manage their spouse's emotions as well. And because their patterns were deeply entrenched for many years, permanent change will require consistent daily effort over an extended period of time. All you ladies and gentlemen here, you cannot be afraid of the hard work and the permanent change that will take place for the better. 100% will, but you need consistent daily effort over an extended period of time. And not give up. Keep at it. You will see results. Most people give up too easily. So that's a very, very important idea. One of the skills to review, the emotional intelligence skill, is probing and questioning for information in a healthy way, in an emotionally intelligent way. The next real important key to emotional intelligence, EQ, is stop the blame game. That's the easiest thing for most of us to do in a conflict or disagreement. You just blame the other person. Sometimes the most difficult thing is to identify and stay focused on your own contribution to the problem. To stop the game blame, it's essential that you work on and focus on your own feelings and your own behaviors, not those of your spouse. Again, there is a time and place of talking to each other about how you hurt each other and what's bothering you about the other one in a normal, healthy way. But most of our Aveda, I'm telling you, we're blind. We are blind. We have that blind spot. We see more right away the chesaron of our spouse and not ourselves. So we have to really wake up to that. Stop the blame game. Look at ourselves. If we remain attuned, we're less likely to get caught up in this blaming each other. It is exciting to learn to use preface statements when you discuss a tough issue. We're going to talk about what those statements are, but using them takes the blaming and fault-finding out of the interaction entirely. Prefaces, what we call hagdamais. These preface statements can include such things as what we're going to tell you right now, and write this down, keep it handy. One thing you could say before touching upon a touchy subject is, I have something to talk to you about. Please hear me out. Try not to get hurt or overreact. I'm just really trying to be sincere. Or, I know we discussed this many times, but I feel a little unsettled and really I would not like to talk about this. Or, I don't mean to upset you, but we need to talk about this. Or, are you in the mood to talk about this right now? We have to address this, but is now the right time or not the right time? We can talk about it later if you're tired. Or, I know this is a sensitive issue, and we just have to address this. Or is it a good time to discuss this? I'd like to discuss this, and let's do this without anger or resentment. Let's just work it through calmly. Are you willing to try? Are you willing to do this? So these are preface statements that would de-escalate those strong emotions of defensiveness. And now, what happens if in the middle of a conflict you see it's getting heated? So here is essential EQ qualities for that. You could stop in the middle and say, you know, maybe we should just start over. You know, it's getting heated. Let's just start over. Or you want to take a break. Or sometimes it's maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. That diffuses it. Or sometimes, please hear me out. Or can we both speak more softly? Or we're both getting a little upset now. Maybe we should take a break and get back to it, a little later. Could we get back to this and try again? Acknowledge we're not hearing each other right now, and let's readjust. So these phrases, maybe you write them down in cards, whatever it is, but remember, very often, in most relationships, we, yours truly, whoever you are, you individual, have to change the way you see your spouse first. And then you'll realize your spouse is not always the problem. The problem could be your perception of your spouse. That's the problem. You have to keep in mind the power of your perceptions. Your beliefs determine how you select to perceive. If your thoughts and perceptions is to view your spouse negatively, then you will think negatively about them. And when you start looking about what the Torah says, "Betzedek tishpet amisecha," giving the benefit of the doubt, then you will start thinking differently and feeling differently. Sometimes these blaming and anger comes from unfinished, unhealed issues from your past, and you have to learn how to overcome it. So beliefs lead to thoughts, lead to certain value judgments, lead to perceptions that you'll perceive it in the wrong way. So it's very important to be attuned to this. So here's another example. Margot, that's a female name, and Dan, male name, rushed into their second marriage too quickly and did not take the time needed to heal and become strong individuals between relationships. Margot had come from an emotionally abusive first marriage. She had developed a pattern of being over-accommodating and people-pleasing in response to her first husband's controlling style, and now was projecting residual anger onto Dan. And whenever he asked anything of her, she would accommodate but become furious if he was not grateful to her or if her own needs were not met. She struggled with about a depression, which was likely hidden or latent in her first marriage, and would burst out into tearful rages, blaming Dan for her unhappiness. Not understanding the effect of her past experience on the present, he would respond angrily and bitterly fight with her, and a terrible fight would ensue. Over time, Margot began to recognize that she was projecting her pain onto Dan, blaming him for the hurt that she had experienced before entering this marriage. And Dan began to recognize an insensitive pattern, after which he modeled over his cold and angry father. So they learned to become attuned to each other, and they were able to stop that blame game and learn to manage and express their emotions more appropriately. So this skill is to stop the game blame. The third skill is listening. Listening is loving. There are not many resources available for learning effective listening skills as there are in anger management in the literature out there. I think even in the Torah, you know, Musar Svarim, they talk a lot about Kas. There's a whole sefer on Erech HaPayim about Kas. But the listening part is lacking, it seems. Although the truth is when the Musar Svarim talk about Noisei Be'oil Im Chaveroi, which Rabbi Yeruchim, Meshgiach Amir, talks about a lot, and many Musar Svarim talk about Noisei Be'oil means feeling the pain of others, and a lot of it is putting yourself into their shoes and really being attuned to them, which includes a listening aspect of them. Chafetz Chaim mentions it here, so it's not totally neglected, but it's not emphasized as a whole sugya. But there is a book called The Art, Lost Art of Listening by Mike Nichols, which I did not read yet, but I have, that covers many aspects of effective listening. There are other books as well. But these skills cannot be applied without EQ, without emotional intelligence. And the most, in marriages, I will say this, the most troublesome obstacle to effective communication in the face of any conflict that you have is the inability or unwillingness to listen. That is really the key. When that Pesach gets open, when you learn the tools to really, truly listen, your marriage changes completely, drastically for the better. Effective and empathetic listening is one of the most powerful forces in making your marriage run smoothly. What you say may ultimately be less important than what you hear. And we're going to, Be'ez Hashem, talk more about this empathetic listening in the upcoming Shir. Bracha v'atzlacha.